I invite you now to the hearing of Scripture. It comes today from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 30. Hear now the word of the Lord. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of God for us, the people of God. On this Palm Sunday, we enter into a week, and especially this day, filled with paradox. Jesus enters into Jerusalem on this day, the center of celebration, the center of the crowd, the center of acclamation, and only within 1 week, he is at the center of the cross. Two thieves on either side. There's an irony all throughout. Those who are proclaiming him in the beginning, will those be shouting, "Crucify him," at the end? And this is where we've ended these last 7 weeks, as we've been looking at the last seven words of Christ. The last words that he says on the cross, after a lifetime of proclaiming the kingdom of God, of offering forgiveness and sharing God's love, what are the last things he has to say? The last words that he speaks is, "It is finished." And as we think about those words, there's so many different meanings, there's so many layers to what that can be. It is finished. I remember the first time we took our son Luke to Twisty Treat. He had had ice cream. He loved ice cream. He had never had an ice cream cone. And I was curious, what was he going to do when he hit that hard part of it? Was he going to put it down? Was he going to lick it? What was he going to do? And finally, it took him a moment, but he took a little nibble, and he realized it's pretty good. So he kept right on going. It took a little while, but eventually he got down to the last little nibble and he popped it in his mouth. Finished. Mission accomplished. He'd eaten the whole thing. I mean, everything is done. I think about the time that I finally finished school. It is finished. Some I've talked to, they said, "You know what, I remember counting down the months and then the days and then the hours until retirement. It is finished." Amen. And that in and of itself, whether it's school or retirement, these become milestones in our life. Everything's not done. There's still more going on. But it is an important milestone that we can see our life by. It is finished. And so we take a look at the words of Jesus on the cross and what some of those around him may have heard him say. What did they hear when he said these things? Well, we know the Romans. The Roman soldiers, they were there at the cross. The Roman soldiers had been deployed all throughout the empire. It was their job to keep the peace. And every now and then, there would be some kingdom movement that would pop up here or there, somebody proclaiming liberation from Rome, and they always did a really good job. They circled them up, and they crucified them, and they set them up as an example. This is what happens when your kingdom comes in contact with ours. And so Jesus says, "It is finished." That's right, he's done. His kingdom is finished. It's gone. You had the Pharisees, you had some of the scribes and others who were listening to him. And no doubt in their own mind, he had been a bit of a thorn in their side. They had a particular way of reading Scripture, and they read it this way and that, but Jesus read it differently. And when he spoke of God, he spoke as one with authority. And when he spoke of God as Father, Abba. He spoke of God with an intimacy, in a familiar way that was unlike others, as if he was the Son. But however Jesus construes God, whatever his understanding is finished. Clearly, that is not the God with whom we have to do. And then you have the disciples. The women who were there, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who's watching him, the disciples who had run away and they knew what was happening. They knew that what this meant is that Jesus is gone. And everything that he had proclaimed, everything that he taught, the forgiveness that they saw, the healing that they saw, the liberation that they saw, the freedom and joy in people's lives that they saw, it's gone. And yet Jesus himself speaking this, he knows something they do not yet know. Even though he told them, he said, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to get killed, and I'm going to be raised on the third day. We know the disciples did not understand because that's not in any sense what a Messiah was supposed to do. No one thought the Messiah was going to go and get crucified. We're not quite sure what it means. Maybe it's some weird parable that Jesus will tell us what it means one day, but surely it doesn't mean that he's going to go to Jerusalem, get crucified, and raised on the third day. And yet when Jesus says, it is finished, it says among all the Gospels, they all agree on one thing. The last thing that Jesus says, he says with a loud voice. This isn't a whimper. This isn't defeat. This is something that he says and proclaims loudly. The word he says is actually, it's one word. We say it in English, it is finished. It's just really one word that he said. And it's important because it doesn't mean I am finished. It means very specifically, it is finished. It was a word, for example, a servant in that time, in that place, in that century would say to their boss, they would say, they've been given a job, they've been given a task to complete, and they would say, it is finished, it's done, there's nothing else to do, mission accomplished. And so this is what Jesus is saying, and he's not saying it softly, he's not saying it with a whimper, he's saying it, they say, in a very loud voice. He wants everyone to know. He wants every Roman soldier to hear. He wants every Pharisee to hear. He wants his disciples to hear. He wants everyone to know the job he has been given is done. It is finished. I think about the things that recently with all the basketball that's been happening and all the great games that have been going, they've been going into overtime and you not know what's going to happen and finally one team wins. And of course, the reporter goes into the locker room afterwards. They can barely have a conversation or an interview because everyone is yelling so loudly and things are just, everyone's, there's so much excitement. And then you have the other reporter who's been assigned to the other team. And they go into that locker room and it's just, it's kind of somber and quiet. When we think about what Jesus is saying, this last word, this is not somber and quiet. This is not defeat. It is finished. And what this means then, is that the God that Jesus proclaimed, the God that he knew as his Father, is really the God with whom we have to do. Because 3 days later, exactly as he thought, because he had put his trust in God, God raised Jesus from the dead. The third day, when the stone was removed, Jesus was not there. Because death had been overcome, new life, new creation had begun. God's love is an uncontainable love. And the Father that Jesus knew as Abba would not let him go. God is exactly the way Jesus had proclaimed him. And that means then as well that the kingdom that Jesus spoke of, the kingdom of forgiveness, of mercy, of compassion, of God's grace, of hope, of new life, this kingdom itself was also true. The kingdom of God leavens the world in a way unlike the techniques of dominating violence. The Romans had no understanding of this. They had no idea. They knew how to build a kingdom. But because they did not understand God's kingdom, they had no way to defeat it. Because God had overcome the one thing they could do to defeat all kingdoms. God had overcome death itself. And so we can say that God reigns. God reigns alive in our hearts. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as the word began to proclaim, not only there in Jerusalem, but throughout the surrounding territories, as the good news of the gospel began to spread, the Apostle Paul would write there, especially to the Christians in Galatia, he would say that as the Spirit of Christ is alive in a heart, you too can say, Abba, Father. Just as Jesus knew, so you can as well. Know God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, just as Christ did. He can reign and be alive in your hearts, that you may know that you are loved. And so the disciples, who so feared that it is finished, meant that he was gone. They would come to realize that not only was he not gone, but that he would reign forever, that he would always be with them. They thought that one day they had lost all hope. But now they realized that it was hope eternal alive in their hearts. It is finished. Mission accomplished. It means the kingdom has come. It means that hope is real. It means it can truly be alive in your hearts as well as mine. And so it is as we enter into this last week. These 8 days that not only shook the world, it shakes the world to this day. May we be a people who know the meaning of forgiveness. May we never try to brush aside again the sins, the way that we miss the mark, the way we have broken. But may we bring all of ourselves to God and say, will you remake me with your love and your healing and your restoration? May you renew me from the inside out. And may we share that light, that hope with the world. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this amazing love that you have poured out for us on the cross, for the love that you gave us so fully in Christ Jesus, that you have done all things that we may come to you, for you have already come to us. And so, Lord, may we simply trust in you this day. May we have faith. May we receive this gift of your love. May we be renewed from the inside out. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.